Okay.
All right, I see it recording. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is I want to pray, and then after that, got a couple things I'm going to go over. I'm going to answer some questions that were addressed from the last time we had a chat that was sent to Kelly. I'm going to just read them, and then we're going to go over them, and then from there, we'll go into just question and answer. We're going to do this for about an hour and a half, so I don't want to have a whole lot of time in the beginning on a lot of talk as far as for me. I'd like it to be more for the question and answers, but let's go ahead and get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for all the patriots. Lord, I know that you know everything that's going on. You know the hearts of men. And Father, I just thank you that you are the one that we look to for guidance when everything seems to be so bleak. Father, we just know that you are in control of all things, and vengeance is yours, as your word says. Father, we thank you and we praise you that all things work to the good that you have in store for us. And Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, I just ask that you bless each and every person on here, and just let your joy begin to fill their hearts, and know that that is your joy, and people cannot take that from them. And those things that you open, no man can take away. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So first off, I want to just say that everything that we're doing here is for educational purposes. I'm not a legal or qualified financial advisor. I'm not an advisor for cryptocurrency. And basically, this information is designed to stimulate everybody to go out and start doing your own research, and so that you can discuss that and make those kind of decisions for yourself as you educate yourself. Because that's one of the reasons the enemy has put us in this position, is because they've tried to keep us uninformed over the true nature of things. And so as we go out and we educate ourselves and we learn, then it empowers us. And so that is what this is all about, for us to discuss and to basically take that empowerment back, because it's yours and it always has been. And that is one thing that they fear more than anything, is for you to have the knowledge that they do not want you to have. So there was some questions that were basically brought up in the last section, and I want to address those and some other things that's been going on. As far as with, you know, I'm not going to speak ill of individuals that have basically either give up, or they have been misled or deceived, because I know that certain individuals have a good heart, and that those individuals are going to feel horrible when they actually finally find out the truth. And so if you're looking for me to actually discredit individuals, I'm not going to do it, because that's not my place. I'm going to show you basically information. We'll talk about information. But as far as an individual themselves, that's God's the judge. That's just the way it is. And I'm not going to be judging people or what they have to put out there. God will be their judge, and they will be the ones that actually have to live with those consequences, because the consequences of our decisions and our actions don't just affect us ourselves, but also other individuals. And we have to live with that, good or bad. So that's just something that we as patriots and as individuals have to learn to start to grasp, that the actions that we take, good or bad, influence or affect other people around us. And there's consequences for that, and that we have to live with those. So that's just the way it is. And so there are other individuals that are out there that are so-called RV gurus. These individuals are going to be, they're going to be looked at kind of as the hated ones by a lot of individuals because they have been misled and misguided by these individuals for a long period of time, and they've been doing it to make money off of them. And the sad thing about that is that that money is about to dry up. They're looking for the support of those individuals still. And when we enter into the new quantum financial system, that is not a possibility for you to use manipulation to better or financially gain from that. That is not the way it works. And so there's a lot of people that are out there that I hadn't said this before in the past. People had tried to get me to talk about it, and I chose not to. And I think there was a couple of times that people asked me multiple questions when it came to these Zim bonds and about the humanitarian projects and about the NDAs. Well, I'm going to talk about it because there's some other, there's one other individual that started to talk about it about a week or so ago. And I felt that, okay, if someone else is going to go ahead and talk about it, put it out there, then I'm not going to be the one that basically is the first one to say something about it, even though I had already known and kind of hinted around it, but I just wasn't going to be the one that does it. But I told you that there's going to be some people that are going to be upset and they're not going to like how it goes down. Those individuals are holding RV money that they think is going to be their golden ticket to just everlasting bliss. And the problem with that is that they are going to get a financial reward from it, but not anything which they feel they're going to. So then most has to do with the humanitarian bonds and Zim bonds. Those are going to be allocated to individuals that have pure nature, pure of heart, and what their actually intent is going to be is good, has a great humanitarian project, whether it be with other individuals or with themselves, but that they are not going to be corrupted by that kind of financial opportunity. So we talked about the how are they going to go through with the RV and with the background information that is going to be disseminated in that event. There will be a individual in each and every one of those RV appointments where the humanitarian projects are going to be possible. And it will be, it's mostly determined already through the background checks and information that's already been done on the people that actually have them. So people that already had RV money, well, when they purchased that money, it was registered. Individuals are registered and they have full knowledge of the people that are carrying this currency to actually do the redemption. Those that are going to be doing the ZIMs for humanitarian, most of those individuals are already pre-qualified and are already pre-approved for their humanitarian project. There are a few that are on the possibility of yes, no, maybe. And that will be determined in their actual RV appointment. Well, there's a lot of them, a lot of these that are actually the gurus even, that actually have these bonds, and they think that they're going to be financially gaining from them. They will walk out of there with nothing for those bonds, because those bonds are only going to be actually validated and made whole because they choose the ones that they're going to actually pay out on. There's an NDA that they will have to sign, both if those that didn't get their ZIM but had other monies to cash in, there is a very stiff penalty if they speak out against it, even though they didn't. That money will be confiscated from them. So people may not like what they hear at this point. I don't care anymore, because it's at the point where some of these individuals have misled people for so long that they think that they're going to be the one that guides all these individuals. These individuals, they're already fully aware of who they are and what they actually have. I'm not going to get into all of the specifics about it, but they don't need those individuals to help them at all. So the Stellar, the digital assets are the funding. Those fundings will be made through the digital assets and will be through the quantum financial system. It is a kind of a relationship that's how one is paying into another, and how this whole system is going to actually come to fruition. So with that said, some of those gurus that people have been looking to that have been very questionable and been misleading for all of these years and have been basically telling people it's this and it's that and it's gonna happen here and it's gonna happen there. When are you gonna hold them accountable and tell them that it didn't happen and their excuses are no more? None. So nobody knows the actual date. Nobody. And for them to say that it's gonna happen now or it's gonna happen by the end of the month, nobody knows that. And it's on purpose that no one knows when that's going to happen, period. And anybody that tells you anything other than that, or has been telling you other than that, has been misleading you. So just take it for what it is. Those people are going to be on the basic patriot shit list from going forward. And it is what it is. So I'm not going to call out anybody or any individual. People can make that determination up for themselves. So outside of that, we can go ahead and, I mean, you know, when people speak out against individuals or even myself, you know, I don't really take any of that to heart, because I really don't care what other individuals say. The only thing that I do care is how some of that may affect you guys, not myself, because I don't really care. I don't. And it doesn't affect me in the least, because in my mind, those people have nothing to do with my life or have anything to do with anything that is going to ever influence my life, ever. And I just don't care. But I do care about you guys. And I care about how it makes some of you guys feel. And that bothers me to that degree. So, you know, if you continue to suffer about emotional reactions to everything that said to you, then, you know, true power is sitting back and observing everything and doing that logically. True power is actually restraint of words, controls that you actually are the one that is in control of. Everyone else, they can't control you. So just remember to breathe and allow it just to go on by, because it shouldn't affect you at all. It's kind of like that, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Just remember that nobody has that ability to control you. They don't. You do. And so take that. Take that power and take that control for yourself. That's why I always try to remind you guys that I don't want to tell you what to do. I don't want to tell you what to think, because you're grown adults. You need to be deciding these things on your own. Now, we can talk about it, and we can talk about a good conversation to help you make your decision up. But I have my own decisions, and I have my own mind made up in a lot of ways. But I try not to push that ideology completely out there, other than, you know, to support you and to support you in your decisions. But I don't want to be the one telling you that this is what you need to do or this is what you don't need to do. But I can tell you some reasons why you might not think that you should do that. And then you can decide for yourself. So with that, we can go through a few of the questions that were from last time. And I will try to read these and then answer them, because there were some really good questions and there are going to be some good answers. So, all right. So this individual wrote, so I have a handful of questions, but they all pertain to one another. I'm a financial services and I wanted to wrap my head around this, so I kind of know what direction I should be talking with my clients. So I want to iterate that when you're discussing any of these things, if you're in this financial world, you need to do your research 110% to back the things that I'm going to say to you, so that it's not just speculation, but it is the probability more so than not. And then you can decide how you want to go down that road, because I don't want to tell you what you need to be doing in your business and with your clients. So first one is, so I was wondering, what will happen with life insurance companies and their products? Will life insurance still be a thing? Well, life insurance, from the understanding that I have going forward in the quantum financial system, is that life insurance will not be something that is used in the future. So how they actually get rid of it, I'm not 110% sure. I've heard a few different things, but like I said, it's something that we are going to be more self-insured the way that we were supposed to be back when we were an actual republic and didn't have banks and financial advisors and financial lawyers trying to control, manipulate, and get money out of individuals. So the whole life, this is another part of this question, is whole life is kind of like an investment tool. And I do know about whole life. I actually have my insurance license, and I actually sold insurance on my, that's a long story anyway, doesn't matter. So I did carry my insurance, and the life insurance itself actually obtains value over time as you're paying into it, into whole life. And it actually gains actual value over time as it matures. So I believe that those investments into life insurance, whole life insurance, not term life, will be basically funded, as in they became solvent at the time that we change over to the quantum financial system. How they actually do it, I'm not really for sure, but it is an actual true investment. It is basically for a retirement as well as for a unforeseen death and a security that was put forth for families. So how they actually do it, I'm not really sure, but I do know that that part of it is they're not going to actually devalue it and have people lose their money that are invested in whole life that they've been spending money on for the majority of their life, because they were under the impression that that policy was a solid return on their investment that was no fault of their own, and had the banks do what they have done as well as the insurance agencies become corrupt. So that's a question that is going to come up even more, and how insurance is even going to exist in the future. It's not. So insurance is going to be a thing of the past. So if we think about medical and the big pharma and medical going away because of the medical technologies that's coming forth, and we have no need for basic healthcare anymore because it's going to be free. So under those understandings, why would you need health insurance? You don't, because it's already been known that it's all going to be free. So insurance going away. I've heard of a lot of actual people that have tried to renew dental insurance and things like that, that their policies are no good anymore and they're not able to renew them. And it's already coming to fruition in a lot of areas and in a lot of different insurance companies. And it's going to happen everywhere. Just a matter of time. So, all right. So next question. What happens to the stock market? Will it completely be destroyed, or will it be the same but fair and not manipulated? Because a particular insurance policy that he sells is called an IUL, and there are many, there are no stock markets that, if there's no stock market, then there's basically no market for what he sells as that insurance. So the stock market is going to go away. We have been talking about the actual stock exchange going belly up for some time now. It's been being discussed as early as 2014 to 2015 that Stellar was being positioned and raised up to become the new stock market as a complete digital asset-based stock exchange that cannot be manipulated. It cannot be price controlled. there's will be no more fixing of prices and leveraging monies. So we've talked about the stock market to come and that it will be called the people's stock market. Those assets that are in the actual stock market, if you are in the stock market as a private investor, not your 401k and not basically your retirement accounts, because those have your company's control over them. And if you start taking those out or start taking money against them, you're penalized. And that is not the way that the White Hats had ever envisioned switching the markets around. So the stock markets are going to go to nothing. They are going to go belly up. How they actually implement it, a lot of people have discussed that it's most likely going to be a very bad cyber attack that is going to lead to a full-on just crash. It's already had ups and downs, and it's already very manipulated. If people didn't know already, the stock market is privately owned, and it is 100% completely controllable. So they can control it going up or down any way, shape, or form. They have been manipulating the stock market for longer than I've been alive, which has been half a century or more. So that is something that's going to come. And if you have money that is in the stock market and stocks, then I'm not a financial advisor, I'm telling you right now, but what I have done is I've taken my personal assets, cashed them out, and they're sitting in a cash brokerage account. And I have not, if it goes belly up tomorrow, I'm good. I don't have to worry about it. So that is my position. And that's why I'm in the position I'm in. So with all this money lost and the $5 trillion that's been lost over the investors through this year, I haven't lost a dime. Not a dime. So not going to. And the opportunity that I will have in my brokerage account with that cash sitting there is that it will convert to the quantum system and will be able to be purchased and funded into the new Stellar stock market whenever it comes online. So whether it be a week, 10 days, month, however long it takes to do the switch from the old stock market to the new, I'm not going to worry about it because I've positioned myself to not worry about it at all. And so it's your choice. Do your own research and disseminate for yourself what is best for you. If you want to like play with some, and if it's okay to lose and you're gaining money here and there just by playing with it day in, day out, then that's fine. But I would suggest you not get in to something that would be, if you were to lose it all, what would it do to you? So, and I say the same thing about the digital assets. People have got in, they've said, oh, this is a great buy, this is something great. And they go and spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in it, and they're expecting an overnight return, and it goes down just a little bit, but they've lost, you know, $2,000-$3,000. And it's like, are you in it for the day trade or are you in it for the long haul? Because when it's going to really pay out is after we do the switch, not before. So if you're worried about it, then you shouldn't be doing it off of somebody else telling you that it's something good. You should be doing it because you've done your own research and you've learned about it, and then you're taking a risk. Just like if you were to go to Vegas and say, hey, I've got $1,000 here. And if I lose it, I lose it. If I win, I win. I'm going to have a good time. And that's it. But I just don't understand when people just go, I don't know, I'm going to say the batshit crazy over stuff. So anyway, this is another question. It says, since 401ks aren't taxed until the withdrawal, you say the QFS happens before people start withdrawing from their 401k, then they will have to pay taxes when they withdraw under the new JSR rules. Well, under JSR, I know, but right now, yes. But you can also actually take a loan out against your 401k that you can pay to yourself, and you can actually pay that back to yourself, and it is not taxable. So if you wanted to take, say you were in a situation that you needed some money, you could take $20,000 out and pay back, you know, $150 a month to it. You're paying yourself back in the interim, not taxable. So that's an option. I did it myself, and I've done it multiple times over the years to actually take money of mine, buy something else, and pay myself back. And the things that I purchased with it were a lot more valuable than what I was doing with it where it was sitting. So those are things that you have to work out for yourself and be willing to do. But those options are out there. So, all right. So will there even be a need for retirement accounts such as financial professionals, or will I be out of a job? No, you won't be out of a job, and there will be a need for financial advisors, because there's going to be an incredible amount of wealth that is obtained by people that have no idea how to actually use it. And that's why so many people actually win the lottery, and within 3 to 5 years, they're completely broke and they've pretty much lost everything that they've bought, because they have not learned how to manage that kind of money. Managing money is a progression. We learn it through either education, people that we're around that actually have money and that have helped us with learning about how to do certain things to continue to keep it and protect it. And those things are going to be very valuable going forward in the future. But it will be under a quantum grammar industry that will have to be learned. And as you go forward, moving from the industry you're in and into a even better one, which will actually help people and help people even greater than what you're doing right now, is an incredible thing. So will be a thing? Yes, it will be. There will be that type of incentive ship to go out and to help rebuild everything. And when we are in a financial situation that we're blessed without having to worry financially anymore about just living from paycheck to paycheck, and you can actually go out and do what your heart desires to bring joy and success in your life, that will open up complete new avenues for everyone. So I hope those are good answers. Those were great questions, and I wanted to give them the justice that they deserved, because they were very well thought out questions, as well as questions for pretty much everybody. And so I wanted to spend and put some emphasis in the importance of them. And so with that, now, Kelly, we can actually start taking questions for today.
Awesome. I've got three people unmuted, so we're going to go in the order of Chicken Charge, Scooby, and Ryu.
All right.
Chicken Charge, you're up.
Can I pass for a little while? I'm busy right now. Sorry.
Okay, Scooby. You go ahead, Scooby.
Hello.
Hello.
This is any kind of question, right, Kyle?
I don't care. It's your time. It's my time, but it's also your time. And whatever I can help with, I will.
Well, this is probably right up your alley because you know a lot about this. Can you please explain to me the rapture, the 144,000 people they speak of that go, I guess, through the rapture? And then the rest of us in tribulations, I'm having a hard time putting all that together and where we are right now.
Well, that's not a question for, that's a session, actually.
So, sorry.
It really is. It really, really is. I mean, that is something an entire sermon can be put out on, because that information is very, very valuable. But the parts of it are, it's hard to just answer in a really short kind of question. The 144,000, the way that the Bible explains it as we know it today, are the 144,000 actual Jews that are from the 12 tribes that are going to have to go through the rapture and actually be all the way through tribulation. That's the way that the Bible kind of puts it forth as we understand it, the way it's written today. So there's a lot of the two witnesses, and those are supposed to be the two that actually come back and actually begin to profess God's word as the devil sets up his temple inside Jerusalem. And this is during the second half of tribulation, the second 3.5 year period. The first 3.5 period is supposedly supposed to be a very good time where the enemy actually comes in, the devil himself comes in and sets up his throne, but he does it through bringing the entire world together, as in like a new world order under a single church. And then when he turns on the people, so to speak, that's whenever the Jews actually, those are the 144,000, actually turn away from that, which they were being misled into it in the very beginning, and they actually flee from there. There is a place in the Bible that they are supposed to go to, which is a protected area, and it's called Petra. And Petra is a very unique place. It's a city inside of a mountain that has a very narrow passageway that leads into the actual opening of it, of where the actual city part of it actually is. And that is where the 144,000 are supposed to actually flee to and then be protected and guarded over until Christ comes back. The problem with the rapture is that there's a lot of individuals that believe in pre-rapture, mid-rapture, no rapture, and all of that kind of stuff, right? So what my father has shown me is that there is a lot we do not understand, and there's reason that we don't is because of the deception of the enemy, the deception that the enemy has gone into the church itself, and that the only way for us to truly know the will of God for each individual and what is to come for us is through the Spirit of God and through your time individually with God. And so I don't want to say too much for or against either way. My own personal belief has been my whole life is that it's a rapture is pre-tribulation, that there's the rapture that takes place in the very beginning, and there are multiple times throughout tribulation that the Bible makes reference to another calling home of individuals, and that the thing that is very hard to understand is that the Bible itself is the Word of God, but it's also been manipulated. It's also been held back on a lot of information that was actually the Word of God as well. And one of those books is very, very important, which is called the Book of Enoch. And the Book of Enoch, if you've never read it, I suggest you read it. If you look on my page, you can actually find the Book of Enoch. There's a PDF I've got on there. And basically just do a word search, Book of Enoch, and you should be able to find it. So... And the reason that I say that is because every time Enoch is referenced in the Bible, it's actually referenced as if you had already known what he had written and who he was and what he had done. And if that was the case, then why does no one know about Enoch? He was the grandfather of Noah. He's a pretty important dude. Very important. How important was he? Most people don't know how important he was, but he was one of only two that never saw death. God carried him up to heaven and never saw death. That is one of the two witnesses that is supposed to come back because he never saw death. And so that's where... Man, I can talk about this for an hour.
Where do you think we are?
So,
where do you think we are?
I think we are in a place that we're about to discover a lot of things that were hidden that are going to be unveiled as the actual truth going forward.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave it at that. Because
in
the Word of God, he always says, there are hidden truths all within my Word. And when you read his Word and you begin to spend time with God, God puts light on specific topics, phrases, and passages. Then once you understand them, you really start to understand them because he shows you what they really mean. Not what's said, but what they really mean.
Thank you for saying that about the manipulation, because it's hard for me sometimes when I think of knowing that there were books left behind on purpose, and the fact that it can be manipulated, as we've seen they've done with history and everything else they've manipulated us with. So that just gives me solace to think that, you know, I'm not the only one who's confused.
What did he say at the end of Revelations? Those that take away from this book, I will take away those blessings that are here within. Not just said, but I'll take away the blessings here within. And those that add anything unto it, I will add the plagues unto them all. He knew they were going to do it. He warned them. They did it anyway. But he knew.
Yep.
He knows all things. But he gives man free will to basically make those pathways for themselves and the consequences thereof in as well. And he always gives opportunities throughout all time for that to be corrected. Always there's a path for correction. Always. All the way up until the very end. And people have a tendency of doing as they so desire, and in doing so, then they're even further blinded by the truth that they choose not to want to accept. So we actually have a Trinity that is not just the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but it's also the Trinity of me, myself, and I, and who you serve. And when you serve me, myself, and I, you have actually chosen who is your God, yourself. And you've chosen the path in which you're following and the consequences thereof. So at any time, God always puts people in opportunities in your path to be able to change your direction. It's kind of like that old game when we were kids. It was called Chutes and Ladders. And I mean, you could be in last place about to lose the game, but then hit the ladder that takes you all the way to the finals and you win. That's the same kind of pathways that if you ever take the opportunities that God continually puts in front of you to change your direction and your course that you're on can lead you directly to whatever he's got for you. Because, you know, you could actually give your heart to the Lord today and then die 3 hours later. But guess what? You're fully blessed, and all the things that have ever happened prior don't matter. None of it. You just won the game. So
thank you.
Okay, thank you, Scooby. Next up is Ryu and then Das DRG. Ryu, you can mute it.
Hello.
Hey, greetings, Kyle.
Hello.
Okay, maybe I'll just start off with rounding off some of the topics that you discussed. Maybe hopefully would provide some guidance for other people to do research in the least amount of time possible, of course, is preferable. My primary focus, I'm somewhat like you, spiritual domain and answering all those questions relating to God, soul, a purpose of creation, time being an illusion, and all those things are exceedingly interesting. One person who I think is highly reliable in the space, he died about 70 years ago, I mean 30 years ago, but it's Robert Monroe. He's trained thousands of students in astral projection. So if you dedicate the discipline in about 6 months, if you're truly dedicated, you can learn to astral project. So him and his crew started to explore the domain when people die. Where do they go? What happens? And he effectively clearly delineates 6 boundaries. And for the most part, people are getting trapped. And the traps are based on their intellectual comprehension of an idea. So if they believe they're going to purgatory, they go straight to purgatory. If they believe in hell, they go straight to hell. So all of these astral traps are manufactured by the person's belief system. And so it's very important to examine all perspectives to figure out what feels right at the end of the day. What a simple logic I like to use, which appeals to a child, is actually, let's say with the Pope, there's one story about a person asking the Pope, "Hey Pope, are gay people going to hell? Or should I act nice to gay people, and are they going to hell?" So he's like, "Yes, you can treat them with a lot of respect, but unfortunately, they're going to hell." The only conclusion you can draw from there is the Pope is nicer than God, which is a contradiction. If anybody has a son or a daughter, they want that child to be more successful than them. It's pretty much a given. So, and no one wants to be worshipped, and so that their own free will is almost non-existent. So there's a contradiction there. So if you're like that, then there's no way that God could be nicer than you. So astral traps, that's a fascinating subject. So I took it a step further, and I start to, once you go into the New Age group, there's a lot of deception. So you're going to have to weave yourself through. Ultimately, the Messiah complex, or the need to worship a creator or something powerful, always persists. The ones that don't have that type of ideology are generally quite good. But again, not everything is 100% correct or incorrect. So you got to take it. But what I discovered is that this planet is very rare. The matrix and the level of slavery, it's called a prison planet, and it's the worst in this galaxy, which I've reliably concluded. However, there's always going to be a silver lining. If it's rare, then what exactly is the benefit of operating in a prison planet? So with the right orientation, this is the problem. So you can't succumb to victimhood. If you pass that stage, then the level of progress that you make on this planet is about 100,000 times faster than on a more evolved planet, where the catalysts are not there to spark your growth. It's profound, but when you start to really resonate with that idea, you change your... everything changes. You calibrate your entire lifestyle, and you kind of feel bad for not thinking in this way and going through a deadbeat job, operating. You know, many people make their life choices based on fear and security more than it's about growth. But you really start to beat yourself up when you realize it's not, you shouldn't do that. So
yeah, but people are trapped within that mindset. That's the problem. And that is the deal that we are trying to allow people to see for themselves, that they are the ones that actually are the ones that are in control of their destiny. And they are in control of their destiny by the laws of attraction, the laws of the universe. Those things are set in stone. And what you resonate is what you attract. And so people have never been taught this information. They haven't been educated in the fact that the way that they choose to accept or deny things have consequences for them. That's why I've been very specific in the way that I have basically brought forth certain information to individuals. And I try not to take things a little bit too far, because what happens is that brings that fear of unknown, and that it causes people to begin to shut down. So people have to go through this on baby steps. And why do I say that? Because people that you start to have a connection with will start to open up to you until you go too far with them. And as soon as you go too far with them, it's like you've lost almost all that ground. So the people that have been able to actually do and perform incredible feats outside of the realm of the third dimension that we're in is individuals that have lived, and I know specifically of who and what I'm talking about when we talk about some of the monks that have lived their entire life from being a child until being a full-grown adult and never hearing the words, "I can't." They have not got that in their vocabulary. And so what they believe, they can, and they do. Just as Christ said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, he was trying to tell people how important it was to envision those things and to have faith and to believe and to not doubt in yourself, and you would bring those things to pass, even in the world that we live in. But exactly. How many people have actually gotten that 2,000 years later?
Exactly. The propensity towards, people are basically, to just go back to first principles. So God has the greatest desire for God is to basically endow its fragments which are complete, because space is an illusion, with complete free will. So even Robert Monroe, when he started piercing through all of these astral layers, which he says, by the way, 90%. So he watched each of these layers houses different billions of people, and they're just stuck in stasis until they're forced to reincarnate. And you can go through these layers, and at the end, he sees kind of like an AI construct, which says, "Please worship me." It's like this very highly cold metallic construct. It said, before he reached the final layer where he meets his God aspect, if you will, it's all words are, you know, the sages say that as soon as you speak, you lie when you start to deal with very high level abstractions, because all you do is run into paradoxes. But to keep it as simple as possible, and you're right, you want to take baby steps, and I don't want to overwhelm this crowd right now, but I'm sure if I can just activate that one individual to go and research this, they will find out a lot. And ultimately, you know, everyone will get free at some point. However, because time is an illusion, it can take a very long time. And I think the easiest way is that there's clearly a cycle. Universal laws are based on cycles, and it's not a linear construct. So we don't just go entirely uphill. We go back down and up. So based on my research, the past 12,000 years were very tricky, especially since the flood. The flood, by the way, is the most universal event in all cultures. All cultures talk about the flood.
Yeah.
So
they're similar across all cultures. Many, many different aspects of the belief system is universally ingrained in almost all cultures around the world. And the stories are very similar in their nature and in their existence, and have no idea that they ever came in contact with each other.
Yeah, exactly. From what I can gather is, since the flood, we've been kind of going downhill. And this is kind of the lowest point of human history. It started ultimately with the commercialization of the soul. First, they created the person, and then they created maritime law so they can trick you. Because technically, if you're dead at sea, if you're on land, you can be technically deceived into thinking you're dead at sea, and they created all of these constructs. So as long as people get in touch with their childlike self, they'll realize that God is not too difficult to figure out. And then they can navigate the space, because I like to listen to everything, because nothing is 100% incorrect, but it can be quite dangerous. Anyways, to move on to the stuff about the economy, the market, and the insurance. So with that stuff, it's very difficult to picture a system outside of the matrix. Now, there's an interesting person I follow from the secret space programs called James Rink. So James Rink, he's a good dude. I like him, you know, but he suffered a lot of abuse. So, you know, sometimes he doesn't interview the greatest, but he's a very sharp guy, and he has a lot of people that come on there. And what he says is very interesting. I might even go research this myself later on. There's another timeline called the Kruger timeline. And you guys are going to be pretty amazed at how that timeline started to, how different it is from the existing timeline. It's actually better. So in that timeline, the Nazis win. And for some reason, inflation doesn't exist. So cars in 2024 still cost $3,000. People are only working 3 days out of the week. Medbeck technologies are all actively available. The problem is the Nazis are in control. However, the Satanists are not there. So even when the Nazis seen the Satanists, they took them out like a scourge. They knew that this was absolutely unacceptable. However, the Nazis are going to be Nazis, and there wasn't interbreeding and stuff like that. They're still pretty adamant on the bloodline philosophy. It's silly, obviously, because nature shows that interracial kids end up being a little bit sharper and more athletic. But anyways, they have their own belief system, but this timeline is actually worse. So I think the markets, what I think is happening is they've engineered, it's Darwinian, typical Darwinian evolution. They make sure people are fighting against each other. And that tendency just tends to grow and grow based on the systems they've created. So these insurance companies, for example, they're all colluding with the people they're getting the fees from. So it's a profit motive. Technically, in an ideal world, government is supposed to cover insurance because it's not really a rare scenario. So what happens is it's well within their budget if the government is not spending things on other unnecessary things. So insurance is pretty much going to be obsolete. Also, with the stock market, we have generally a couple of stocks always going up. There's always this a loser and winner dynamic. And you have all of these derivatives. So even on, let's say, $1 million worth of assets, they'll create $10 million worth of derivatives. It's absolute nonsense and is likely not going to persist in the new world. Also, all stocks I see are probably going to go up because everything is connected. And if all the industries are working together and there's no real waste or toxicity, which the GDP doesn't measure, even though it's going up, every other metric of well-being when it comes to human health, toxicity, waste are going down. These economists are, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to judge, but you know, you have to lack a high degree of virtue if you're not at this point. The professionals are not questioning the reality they live in.
Well, they're not, because they're a part of the problem. And that is the way that it is completely designed. If you have opposition, how do you deal with the opposition? You put them on the payroll and you control what they say and how they say it. And that is a part of the mockingbird media and a part of the system that was put in place for the ultimate control of the people. So for all of that to be dealt with, it all must implode upon itself. That is what is happening right now. It is going to all implode upon itself. There has to be a system in place that takes all of the abuse and all of the bullets that are going to be passed out for it to all collapse. And then when it collapses, there has to be something in its place already running, which we already know is, that is the backstop to be what ensures that there is not complete and utter chaos, because there would be. That was their goal, that was their intention, but that is not what is going to happen. Carry on.
Okay, next up is Bass DR2, and then Dwayne.
And thank you, Ryo. I really appreciate all of your input, and I know that you are very well rounded and very well knowledgeable in all of this, and I look forward to spending more time talking to you just one-on-one.
That sounds awesome, Kyle. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Captain Kyle, I want to know how much I appreciate you and your calm voice of reason all the time. I'm really enjoying your recent posts, but I have a question in regards to the exchange process, and
I won't talk about the ZIMs.
That's not, is the exchange still going to go through on other currencies?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. That is a part of actually converting the monies that are out there that are illegitimate into actual true digital assets for the conversion of the money being transferred out of the black hat control and into the white hat control, and to be used as a monetary blessing for humanity. And the Zims, they are as well. And so there's been a lot of people out there saying that the Zims may not do, they may not actually RV those, and they're full of shit. The Zims are gonna actually, they have made that decision a long time ago. They were already bought, they were purchased, and they are going to be converted. But the individuals that are out there manipulating and telling people how it's all going to go down, and they have no idea what they're talking about, those people are not going to come out of that exchange the way that they believe it's going to work. And they're not going to have a choice. It's the way it is. So, but if you've got dinar and you've got dinong and you've got all the other finances, those are all going to exchange, and those are going to go through with no issues whatsoever.
And we can still use that money to help people. We don't even have to have a project, you know, or paying it forward. There's so much need out there. So thank you so much.
Yes. And so, so much emphasis has been, I've been put onto humanitarian projects, and that you get all this money because of humanitarian projects. No, this money is a blessing to all humanity. And that if just with some of this, the assets that I have, that I have shown people, my wallet, I do not care. It's not a lot invested. But if those assets, if they were to just go to a penny, which I have great, I have pretty good faith that they're going to go well above a penny, they would be mostly worth into hundreds of millions of dollars. Each one would be. And with that kind of actual financial blessing, what could I do to change my life, my family's life, people that I'm friends with, people that didn't get involved in any of this, that basically has been the ones that have told me that I was nuts and crazy? Well, I can make a blessing in all of their lives, as well as other individuals, to completely change those things that I want to do for other individuals. I don't have to have some humanitarian project, because I'll be in a position that I can just do whatever I want. And to think that you have that kind of wealth with the money going back to its actual true value, and the inflationary manipulation taken out of it, just as Ryo said a while ago about prices being back still right now, and what you could buy, you know, a vehicle for, you know, $3,000 instead of, I mean, used vehicles, $50,000 and $100,000 for a truck. It's like, have you lost your freaking minds? Really? And you could have that kind of actual price on goods and services because of the correction of it, but then have, you know, the possibility of hundreds of millions of dollars, or even being a billionaire and having those kind of prices. What could you do? Anything. You could actually build retirement center. You could do all kinds of things to actually help people, and you don't need any humanitarian project. You just can do those things on your own. And that's kind of what is going to be the mindset going forward on getting involved and being a good actual person and participating in life, not just going through it.
Okay, thank you very much, Beth. Your Dwayne, you're up next. You're unmuted. Is it Dwayne? D-U-A-U-N, Dwayne? You're unmuted. There's two dogs in your picture. Okay, so Kyle, I have the problem of we cannot see but 20 people.
we got 700 people in here.
I know. So I guess they can DM me their questions.
I'm on there now. I'm so sorry I lost you for a moment. This is Dion.
Oh, come on.
Oh, thank you. So good. I've been waiting for so many times to try to talk to you guys. First of all, again, Kyle, thank you for everything you do. So much appreciated. I have a few questions for you, though, and I know I've only got a limited amount of time, so I'm going to try to make it quick. As far as humanitarian projects, I know you were just briefly talking about that. Is it not too late to apply for one of those, or is it too late to apply for one of those?
So you're not going to apply for one, okay?
Okay.
So if you have actual ZEMs and they're registered when you purchase them, so they already know who you are, and when you go into the redemption center, basically to do your redemption, at that point, if you have a humanitarian project that is on your heart to do, all you need is just a simple outline of what it needs or what you want for that to actually be. Okay. I'll just give an example, right? Okay. Say you wanted to start a animal shelter and you wanted to like take care of animals and you wanted to make sure that there were no more euthanizations of animals anymore that were just strays, right? You could do that and you could say, okay, this is how I'd like to do it. And then at that point, they will put you in contact with a financial planner, a construction person, somebody that is actually some kind of help in that type of field. You need, you know, veterinarian people, things of all that you have no idea what you're doing. But the idea of what you want to do is truly in your heart because that's what you want to do to help society be better. That's what really matters. And that's what's going to be seen in that actual exchange. And at that point, they will pretty much work all kinds of plans out for that to actually come to fruition. It won't be something that all of a sudden, oh, all this has got to happen. I got this 3-page, you know, full-on book outline. Most people have no idea what to be doing. And for people to be charging other people to be putting all this stuff together, these are heart projects.
Right.
Business right. People are going to be aligned with people with heart projects that are going to have the same kind of mindset to make these things come to fruition.
But you only
that
can
is
do that
what's going.
Is that correct?
Well, no, you can do them with whatever you, if you've got dinar and you walk out of there with, you know, $300 million worth of dinar and digital assets that now have the value of, you know, 1955 prices of, you know, a house, normal house cost you $10,000 and a car cost you, you know, $3,000 to $4,000, then you got $300 or $400 million. You can do your own project of anything that you want.
That's
or
what
you
I
can
was
actually
thinking.
Say, hey, I would like to see other projects that y'all already have and I would like to get involved in one. That's all going to be a possibility.
Awesome.
All going to be a possibility.
Okay. Second thing, just curious on the regular notes, I know that we're doing the rainbow currency. How long do you think that we're going to keep actual bills? Is that something that's going to stay on for several more years or is it all going to go to just digital assets where you're not going to have paper money? I've heard both sides and I just didn't know what your thoughts on that were.
So the way that I see it is that the digital and the paper currency will be around at least anywhere from 8 to 10+ years, maybe
okay,
longer.
Longer.
It's
okay.
Just going to be how society moves forward and whether or not they actually get to a position where society chooses not to have actual paper currency anymore. Gotcha. But I don't think that will actually come to pass. I think there's going to be, until we go through generations, where certain generations actually do pass away, then that possibility will come to pass. But in the very near future, I do not see that happening at all.
That's what I thought, because there's a lot of people that I've talked to about all this, and they're just like, I have to have the feel of the dollar bill. I have to have the feel of the money. And that's what I've heard from several people. So I'm like you, I think it'll take a while for them to get to that point where they can mindfully say, okay, we can do away with the dollar. This is all what it's going to. But it will probably take generations. I get that. Next question was, I'm actually a realtor. I've been a realtor for about 15 years. And I see things happening in the market already, seeing kind of a slow, you know, seeing where prices are kind of leveling out. What are your thoughts on that and where that's going?
If you got something to sell, sell it now. I wouldn't buy anything now, but if I had it to sell, get rid of it.
That's exactly
after
what
it happens. Then the values go down. You're going to think, you're going to kick yourself in the butt thinking, if just 2 months ago I sold when this was a seller's market, and now the prices are half what they are, because the housing and the stock market is, it's so inflated. It's got about a 50% inflation on it right now. So something that's a $250,000-$300,000 house is really only about a $75,000 house.
You got it. I see it every day. I do. And also, you were talking about the 1950s prices. Like, do you think we'll see that happen before the end of the year? Or do you think it'll be several years down the road before we get to the 1950s prices?
I think that once we actually get through Protocol 19 and into Protocol 20, I think that that will be implemented relatively quickly, because when you do an RV and you reevaluate the exchange rates of dollars and give them their true buying power, then you have to take away the inflationary value that was put on top of it. And right now a dollar is worth about 16 cents. So you do the math.
Okay, Kyle, I have a couple questions to read. Okay. Let's see. This is from Chicken Charge. You commented on false info out there about RV, digital, and other financial issues. Why hasn't the disingenuous gurus been taken down by our side? Isn't that going to make people that have followed the entire plan for years upset that they let this go on for so long?
Yes, but people have been told to actually go out, do their own research, and to actually find out information on their own. And if you actually started to use some logical thinking and put your little common sense hat on and started listening to some of the string along nature that these individuals have had for so many years, and then they have a GoFundMe account, or you're paying for a website that you're associated with them as a $3 fee or a $2 fee monthly, and they've got 100,000 subscribers. They're making a lot of money, and you need to start putting on your thinking hat and start figuring out who to follow, who not to follow, and what information that is valid or not valid. Because some of these individuals will give you 35, 40, 60, sometimes 70% actual good information, but then they string you along with things that they have no idea what they're talking about to keep you around and to keep you coming back for more. One of the things I hate more than anything is the YouTubers that are out there that have monetized their websites, and they always say, I've got this intel and I haven't gone through it all, but I've gone through part of it. Let me tell you what this individual says. It's not mine, but it's this individual, and this is what it says. and I have to go through the rest of it, so I won't be able to get to it today. Always leading you to come back, always keeping you on the hook for the next episode. It's kind of like the same thing you do in a television series where they always leave you that cliffhanger without having the information you truly need or want. It never actually shows up. And a part of why are they allowing these individuals to stay out there? Because people have to start figuring things out on their own and using their own intelligence. And when Q has told us that we need to be careful who we follow, we need to do our own research, we need to spend time learning about the things that we are doing and who's giving us information and whether or not we trust it, I don't trust the information that I give myself. Why? Because you need to always verify. This is one of the biggest words and phrases that we use at my work. Trust, but verify. I trust you, but I gotta verify it. So it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with both of us making sure that it's verified. And if people don't want to spend the little bit of extra time and trying to validate whether an individual is feeding you a line of bullshit or not, then it's really not my problem, but it's yours. Because all those indicators that I just said come up over and over and over again with these same individuals. String you along, string along, string you along, telling you things that never happened. Always have an excuse why. And here's my PayPal account, or here's my GoFundMe, or here's the website that I'll keep you informed in my newsletter. I mean, we have to start taking responsibility for our own actions and our own decisions. That's what's got us into this mess to start with.
Next up, Lady Red, she has been seeing some things come out, like the deployment of the National Guard by 45. She's asking, is that riot control insurgency, or, you know, what are these things meaning that we're seeing coming out? The monkeypox, the National Guard has received a signal from 45. Let's see, what else has she got here? I think that's it. What are your thoughts on those?
So we talked about some of these things last night on the QWO chat that I was on. And that's my other channel that we have. And that a lot of great patriots are on there. And everybody that's on there has no influence by financial gain. So the information that people are trying to put out and put on QWO is strictly to inform people and to give people the ability to start researching and taking the information that's provided there and going deeper in it. It's just rabbit holes and information that people can learn from. Because a lot of this stuff is already done and it's just being put out to the public so that the public can actually start to digest what's happened, what is happening, or actual change that's taking place behind the scenes. And there has to be a fall entity that is going to take the fall. And that is the resident that is in charge. That is all they're there for, is to take the fall, because that was their intent, that was their plan, and they're going to die by their own plan. So their plan is being enacted publicly while the White Hats are actually going behind the scenes and cleaning up everything that needs to be taken care of, so that as the fall happens, there is a complete 100% backstop so that society does not fall into chaos. And this is talking globally, not just the United States. Everybody says, well, why don't we do it here? It's got to be done everywhere. This is a global operation. And last night we played on there about when Ezra Cohen Watnick actually gave his speech about special operations and was put in charge of that. At the time, those special operations had already been being enacted, but they were now being segregated away from the normal military channels and being controlled specifically by individuals and by actual real generals and not TV generals, as our president would like to say, that they don't make TV appearances ever. They're not TV generals. They're the ones that get things done. And special operations has been going on. It's continuing to go on. And when they're done, we will all know it. Just like when Putin went into Ukraine, it was special operations. It was not an invasion. It was a special operation. And many times he has said that it is going just as planned. What plan? The plan. So the National Guard, all of this stuff is being put out there for the protection of the people, as well as the ability to control whatever may happen in any kind of uprising. Even in the smallest amount, it will be squished immediately and without prejudice, because the military is in control, has been in control. There has been a devolution of government. If you go back and look at the documents that the FEMA had put in place 3 days before President Trump actually came into office, it actually outlines exactly what's taking place right now for the devolution of government and for the continuity of government in this very instance. Trump has been a wartime president. He has enacted the PLEADS Act, the Stafford Act. He has had more power than any other president in all of history. And it is something that is playing out, and it's being played out under the disguise of all different types of events. But that is not what's really happening. Behind the scenes, they are very busy, and they are ensuring the well-being of the public and the country.
Okay, the next question is, it's from Leo the Lion. I keep seeing and hearing that Bitcoin and ETH are going to zero, but I see their networks in the charts. So it seems a network is still going to be used, question mark. Will Bitcoin and ETH come back after move to QFS?
No, they will be gone. So the reason that they will be gone is because they will not be actually backed, or have never been backed, by anything of actual value. The only thing that will exist going forward in the quantum financial system is an asset that is actually backed 110%. And it doesn't necessarily have to be backed by gold. It can be backed by silver. It can be backed by oil. It can be backed by palladium, or it could actually be backed by something as in a different type of commodity, like say grain. You could actually have a asset that is backed in the commodities of grain. So it depends on how it's going to be set up. but it's actually going to have a true, actual commodity that actually backs it up. So Bitcoin and Ethereum, they do not, and they are tied together. And when that has been used by the banks and by the criminal organizations to basically set up, this is what's important, the setup of the decentralization of individual purchases back and forth from person to person and through the blockchain. So yes, they were very important in how their structure was used, but that actual coin will go away.
Okay, we've got a few people that have their hands raised. Catherine, I've unmuted you, and you know you'll be after Catherine. Catherine?
Oh, hi. Thank you for everything you guys are doing. Absolutely love it, all this information. One of my questions doesn't pertain to financial. It's more about the corporations and the vaccines and all the people that received them. Are they as deadly or as what they talked about? And are they still, why are they still being given for the COVID, so forth? And I just wanted to know if you knew anything about these corporations forcing these employees and anything to do with the vaccines and
so the corporations themselves, they actually have no grounds whatsoever to force a experimental anything on anyone, and there can be no collusion whatsoever or coercion that gets you to actually take something that is experimental, which it is 110% still experimental. So they have broken the Nuremberg Code. They're fully aware of what they're doing and the roads that they are going down and the decisions that they are making. And in doing so, these corporations will be a part of the executive order seizures. Like, I work for a company right now that has been seized by the executive orders. As far as the company publicly doing anything that would make any type of notification to the public that that has happened, no. Are they doing anything different than what they were doing before the seizure, the actual seizure? No. They are continuing down their business plan in which they had actually put forth before they were actually seized. So they are making the bed that they are going to have to sleep in. That is all of them. So do you have retribution for a company that breaks the Nuremberg Code? Absolutely. Do you have the legal grounds to actually withstand that? Yes, you do. There's been a lot of information that's put out on all of that information. Now, as far as the vaccines, I don't believe that what has happened in a lot of the vaccines, there's a lot of information that was out mid last year that how long would it have taken for companies to actually manufacture that amount of actual vaccines and be able to produce that much and have them out into the population. it would have taken what they say right now that has been vaccinated as well as boostered, that they're saying it would have taken them 30 years to manufacture that much actual vaccines. So a lot of the vaccines were placebos because they did not have the actual true product. There were three, from my understanding, there were three different batches of the actual vaccines. One was very minor as far as the vaccine itself. The second was a little bit stronger vaccine. And the third vaccine that was out of the batches were the ones that we saw the most side effects that people witnessed, along with people actually dying from. Those second and third batch vaccines were very limited in how much was actually made and actually put out into the public. So I think that most people have been given the placebo or the watered down version of the other actual batches, which was the batch one. We'll just say batch one, two, and three. And the batch one was something that was very, very minor and didn't have very much of the actual vaccine substance within it. So what they were doing is they were taking the vaccine and actually taking a single dose and breaking that out into, say, 8 or 10 doses as for that first batch. And then the second dose would be, like, say, dose two would be something that was along the lines of maybe a 3-to-1 type situation. And then batch three was like a 1-to-1. That was the real deal. You got that one. And usually within a very short period of time, you were having lots of side effects, and either even up to a death, right? So it was all about the manufacturing. And they actually had did very, very well-rounded mathematicians actually put pen and paper to the ability of whether or not that could actually be done, and it couldn't. So my whole hope in that is that most people got batch one or just the placebo, and they have had minor implications of it, and the technologies that's coming out soon will be something that will be able to eradicate whatever damage was done. So my parents both took it, and they're both fine, and it hurt me severely that they took it. But, you know, people are going to make their own minds up and their own decisions, and I had to live with it, and so did they. But they're okay.
Yes, my son did as well, and thank God he's okay. Okay, he's an adult, and he made that choice, so there was nothing I can do about it. But thank God he is okay. I have a question from Patriot for Life. Let's see, how does the quantum financial system and quantum in general relate to consciousness?
That's a good question. And I've talked about it before. So everything that is connected. And this is one of the things that quantum string theory actually gets into explaining, and how everything is, without even having the ability to understand it, we're all connected. Our thoughts, our emotions, everything is intertwined to a level that is, it makes everything that is. So when we start talking about the quantum and the quantum financial system, that it actually begins operating on a level of technology that we can't hardly process with our understanding of computers the way that they are today, because they operate in a higher realm of existence. And it's the way that a quantum computer processes, it processes in a ability that, let's just take a supercomputer, for example, and you would have, like, say, a mouse going to the downtown of a city, and that supercomputer could actually come up with 50,000 different routes for that mouse to get to the same location relatively easy. But a quantum computer could do that same thing, but it could do it almost instantaneously with a million mice all at the same time. It doesn't operate in a linear fashion as a normal computer does. And when you start to understand more about the quantum and the quantum financial system and how it actually operates, you start to get a different understanding of the ether, the information, and how it's actually stored. Everything that has ever happened on this planet has actually been stored on this planet, and is actually in information stored in light. And the quantum actually uses that light and disseminates all of that information, and it does it instantaneously. So when we start thinking about our own brains, and our own brains being as in a type of it's a computer, but there's a word I'm looking for right now, and I'm struggling because I'm starting to get tired. It's like a like something living. Gosh, it really frustrates me when I get this way. So, like I said, your brain is a computer, and basically it operates as it gets signals, which is basically energy impulses, just as our eyes perceive our surroundings, and we take that information through our eyes, and then we convert it into what we believe to be our reality. So when you start talking about the quantum system and how the quantum actually interacts with our consciousness, it starts operating on a level of technology that is not readily available to us as we know things at this moment. But as higher technology is released, it will become just normal. So you start talking about, like, Elon Musk, and he's got the Neuralink, right? Well, that Neuralink is like that gateway into the realm of possibility with technology, and that Neuralink could actually help people that were, say, paralyzed and be able to actually have functionality with using a Neuralink. It's really, really difficult to start having the kind of talk about how the quantum interacts with our consciousness, but it does. And just as Ryu talked about earlier, that when we start to evolve into a higher state of being, normal communication isn't done through speaking. It's done by actual communicating person to person. And it's direct thought to thought. And that is actually possible with some people that are psychics, some people that can actually communicate with other people. And you can actually, certain individuals are tied together like twins, and like something happens to a twin and the other one automatically knows it, and they end up cutting their hand and then the other one feels it, even though they're all the way across the country. There's been a lot of actual instances where this has been studied, and there's one about a group of, there were monkeys, and I believe that it was monkeys. I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's monkeys. And they were taught how to use tools. And these monkeys were on a different side of this little island where another group of monkeys had never been taught any of these abilities, and they had no idea what they were. Well, in time, they had no interaction between one group and the other group. And the other ones actually started to use the tools as they were actually designed, as the other ones were actually using them. So that connection is always there, even though we don't see it or we don't quite understand it. There's other studies that have been out there about the quantum, and even all the way down to atoms and how they react, that when you're not looking at them, they respond in a certain way. And then when you actually look at them, they respond in a different manner. And it's because of the perception that it's getting from your interaction with it. So it's a great topic. But it's something that is way above just having a small conversation on here, being able to understand. You could spend your entire lifetime learning about the quantum and still only probably understand a very, very small fraction of it until we actually start getting introduced to it and starting to use it and beginning to grow in that technology, which is coming very soon.
I find it such an amazing topic myself. It's one of my favorites. So just to kind of recap about the quantum financial system and it, how it relates to the RV, you were saying when people go to bring their currency in, basically the quantum knows your intentions, and
it does, but also there are going to be individuals that are there that understand probability and the timelines that are possible for you, and they will be able to see that in you and see your heart intent. So we try to put that into perspective that nobody can understand that. Well, there are things that we cannot understand yet, but we will in the future. But put it into perspective that if you were going in and you had the ability to be cashing out, you know, $300, $500 million, but the probability was greater that it would corrupt you and what it would do to you as an individual by having that versus if you were to walk out with, say, $25 or $50 million, your probability of corruption was to go way, way, way down, then that will be the probability that was best suited for you going forward into the quantum. And that will be the one you walk out with because that's what's best for you in your future. And also that will eliminate the probabilities of something bad taking place in your future. So that's hard for people to understand, but it is what it is. And they don't want to put anybody in a position that it's going to bring a probability of corruption into your life. And so if you have even a small sliver of corruptibility within your nature, that will compound it immensely. And they are not going to take responsibility for bringing corruption into your life. You will still be blessed beyond your wildest dreams, and you will never have to have any worries whatsoever, but it will be a controlled situation.
Okay, thank you, Kyle.
Take it for what it is.
Tootie asked, can you ask Kyle when cures/med beds will be available to the public?
So the med beds and cures will come out when Protocol 20 actually comes into existence. And so right now we're about to go into Protocol 19 before too much longer. And until Protocol 20 comes into place, that is the introduction into the full quantum matrix. Med beds and all that technology is on hold until that actually takes place. And from my best recollection of everything that's happening, the best thing that I can say is that my hope is that it happens this year. But do I know when? No, nobody does. We do know that the corporate and financial NDAs that were actually put out there are supposed to all expire on November the 11th. Very important day in the history of our country and in the world. So does it happen before then? I hope so. Does it happen after then? It could possibly. None of us and nobody knows, and this is all by purpose, the actual timeline in which all of this comes to pass. Now, when it does come out, it's going to come out relatively quickly because the med beds are already made. The technology is already there. A lot of things that people don't know is the Tesla technology is there. They've had a Tesla tower up in Texas. That's when the free power comes. That's when they turn on the actual wall. So the wall that was created by Trump is actually a part of the Tesla creation. So today I posted a video of some people that were bombarding that wall with a frequency of 332 hertz. And in doing so, it was actually resonating as a tuning fork the resonance of healing. It is a part of the new technology as well. Only one other person has ever told that information, ever. And then some people posted a video today of some guys that were actually, they had actually used frequency on that wall, and it actually was working as it was supposed to, its intent. It is a part of the Tesla technology. It is a part of the healing frequencies that the Tesla creation is about, as well as the free technology and free energy. And it is a part of healing the planet and the people as well. And it was turned on and tested in early 2000. This was before the elections, before any of that stuff. It was like the spring or first part of the summer, and they were doing some tests on it. And when they turned it on the first time, it actually knocked the satellites off. It took them offline. They shut it down immediately. They recalibrated some stuff with it, turned it back on, and it worked flawlessly. They said it was some kind of blip, a sunspot, whatever, that made the satellites bleep like that. But it was actually, they turned on the wall. So Trump has always said that wall was more important than what it just meets the eye.
If you learn about the Tartaria history, there was that technology with the free energy on top of all the buildings. And that was all eliminated, destroyed, and wiped from history.
A lot of the world wars actually used the actual wars themselves, not only to create the division, the financial, and all of that, but they also used it for the destruction of the technologies and the buildings that were out there on purpose to be able to control the narrative of history going forward.
Okay, thank you, Kyle. Next up is Nino. You're unmuted. Nino?
Oh, I'm here. Wow, Telegram's really weird tonight. So.
Yes.
All right, Kyle, I have a question. It's back in reference with the stock market. The one thing I can't get my head around is that there is a lot of people out there that have individual stocks that have no clue what's going on and aren't going to wake up until after things switch over. And I keep thinking, is there any mechanism for these people to have a window of time to switch over? But I get what you're saying, that it's going to drop down, so there'd probably be no value left in the stock. And I myself have done what you did, you know, where I got out and I'm just sitting in the cash. But that's something that's been bugging me. I'm just thinking of the mass amount of people that are still asleep. I'm in America, so yeah.
Yes, and so the problem with that is that even on the mainstream media, they have been for at least the last 6 months been calling for the correction of the stock market, and that it's going to take a severe dive, that they believe that it's at least 50% to 30% overvalued and is going to correct itself. And when it does, they have basically said it's going to be worse than the 1929 stock market crash. And so if people don't listen to even the mainstream media and they're out there investing, then they're going to have to learn by the school of hard knocks. The only thing that I will say is that those people will lose their ass. They will. Okay. But the good thing about it is that the backstop of what they're going to lose, they're also going to gain in the quantum system going forward. Now, at first, they may not know this, and they're not going to know it. but they're going to get back all of the interest they ever paid on any mortgage, any loan, any credit card, any interest they've ever paid on anything to a bank or a financial institution their entire life. They're getting that back. So not only will they get that back, but they'll also get back all the monies that they've ever paid into the illegal payments of the IRS. Mm-hmm. You'll also get back the monies that were created under your birth certificate as a straw man into the stock market for the central banking system as bonds. And right now, people can actually take their birth certificate, and which on their birth certificate says it is an actual financial note, right?
Yeah.
On that birth certificate itself, if you use your number, not the one that's from the hospital, but the one that you get from the county or the state, the official one, actually has your birth certificate number on it. That one you can go into the Treasury Direct website, and you can start searching under the bonds and actually start putting your birth certificate number in there and find bonds that were created under your identity. I've got about five or six of them that I've found over maybe the last, you know, year or so that I've looked at them. I don't even care anymore because I know a bunch of them are there. And what's going to happen is that once everything switches and that all collapses, well, then when we start getting restitution back from the actual Treasury Department, which is no longer in DC, but is actually in Reno, that actually will begin, and you will be informed that there are certain forms that need to be filled out and that they will help you with filling them out, and you know, and they'll have all of your information as far as, you know, the Quantum already has all of that stuff done as far as all things that are financial in your name. So it's I think it's a 1521 form that you fill out, and basically it allows you to redeem those bonds that were created as a straw man for you. Mm-hmm. And you will get that money back. So you may lose a buttload of cash, but you had your head up your ass. Sorry, but that's just how it is, because the world's been telling you it's going to crash and you just haven't paid attention. But you're also going to have the return of all of the theft that was ever done to you given back to you to say, look, this is your new, you know, the way the new world is going to go forward, and this is what you've been robbed of your entire life, and sorry you didn't pay attention to the other part of that, but here's your blessing. And it most likely will be greater than anything you ever lost in that in what you had in stocks personally.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. With the media has been it, they are warning the people, and
day in day out,
if you're not going to wake up and listen to them, then you're just going to have to pay the consequences.
Sometimes people have to learn through the school of hard knocks.
Yeah,
they just do, because you try to tell people, but what is this whole thing says, you can't tell people, you got to show them, because people just don't want to learn that way. So you have to show them, and to show them means you have to go through some stuff.
Okay. Thanks. Cause that helped me think through it, because it was, that was bugging me. And I didn't even make that connection with that people are being warned, because I don't follow the media that much. So I probably kind of missed some of that. Yeah,
but they have been, and the deal with that is they do. And if I know that the media has been saying that, I know that they have heard it, but they haven't paid no mind to it. And because of that, there's going to be a consequence for that. Just like I said earlier, we live by the choices that we make consequences are always there, good and bad and indifferent. And, you know, sometimes that we have to learn from them. But the silver lining in that is that there is a backstop for everyone. That's the good thing, that they're not going to know until we get to the other side, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming.
Actually, yeah, what I was looking for, what is the backstop? And that, and you explained it now to that. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, great. And just like you, just like your mortgages and your loans, those are all illegal. The contracts are actually illegal. They're usury debt. It's all illegal. So when they say that your debt will be forgiven, it's not really that your debt's forgiven. It's actually that the contracts are being nullified.
Right.
It's just being said the wrong way to people. The contracts are actually being nullified because they're illegal. And in doing so, all that interest you ever paid on any of those in the past was also illegal and will be returned and restored back unto you.
Are things like driver's licenses going the same route as the birth certificates?
Yep. So up until the late 40s, early 50s, people used to not even have driver's license because you didn't need them. So the only thing that the only driver's license will be needed is for commercial use. But personal, you know, under the Constitution, you cannot restrict the ability for free travel. And to have forced upon you a driver's license that you have to qualify for and go and test for and do all this stuff for and insurance for is all the restriction of free movement that goes completely against our constitutional rights. And we are going back to a complete constitutional republic, as well as the laws will be completely changed, that we will go back to natural law. And natural law is do no harm.
Okay, thank you. It's exciting.
You know, I have a couple other questions that I'd like to read, if that's okay.
Thank you, Nina. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. Yvette, she says, thanks for all you do. When the event happens, how will we have liquidity, excuse me, to cash out, since only less than 1% know about Lobster Wallet? How will we know when it's okay to trade some of our assets to cash out? And will everyone acquire the wealth globally at once? If so, who will be required to work? Well, that was a lot there. So there you go, Kyle.
So it's not going to matter whether people have a Lobster account or you're doing anything right now. It means that you're ahead of the game and your opportunities that are being presented to you are ahead of the game. And the reason that you're ahead of the game is that you're going to be in a unique position to help your friends and family and people that you have direct relations with on being able to help them make these transitions as well. So first of all, it's going to be through your banking institutions. Eventually, those will change to financial services and not actual banks, because banks are basically a thing of the past and will go away eventually. They will be financial service centers. And basically, it's going to be kind of that unique experience of only having to deal with a financial service center if you were going to have some big financial project that you wanted to do, or that you were going to, you know, be doing large financial transactions and, you know, things of that nature that you wouldn't normally do as just a sovereign citizen. Well, the other part of that question is that there's going to be a lot of people that do get financial gain and financial blessing through all of this, But there are a lot of people that are not a part of going to be severely financially overwhelmed to where I don't have to work another day in my life. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of us that do, but there's, we're 0.0012% of all the people that are going to be that, because most people aren't involved in all of that right now. So the change that's coming and the blessings and the financial gain that people get back is going to be very good, but it's not going to be just, oh, I don't have to work anymore, I don't have to do anything anymore. But it's going to be set up that people will need to participate in their community and be able to make a contribution to society for sustainability. And it's about being a good sovereign citizen, that you don't have to work 20 hours a day to try to make ends meet anymore. You don't have to try to make paycheck to paycheck anymore. You can actually, you know, do things that are beneficial to society. And those that are going to be involved in the rebuilding of our world are going to be exceedingly blessed for that participation in that work. So there is going to be much, much motivation in continuing to go forward and participating in the rebuilding of our world. So when we say, oh, everybody's not, well, we're not going to have to, with the new technologies, work the same way, because they already knew this was, the deep state had already been planning for a UBI, universal basic income. They started basically putting that out there during the very first election, where Trump and the Democrats, there was a Democrat that was on there that started talking about universal basic income, and that we were going to be entering into the fourth industrial revolution. And entering into the fourth industrial revolution meant that a lot of the so-called jobs that people were doing are not going to be around anymore, because they're going to be being done through technology. And I know that this was already taking place, and for several years they have been spending lots and lots of money, I'm talking billions and billions of dollars, in technology that eliminated basic workers and employees, because you could have an actual piece of technology, robotic or not, that could do 5 times the amount of labor that an individual could do with no breaks, and could work 365 days a year nonstop 24/7. But you couldn't do that with people. And that technology was coming. They already knew it was coming and how they were going to deal with it. So they started introducing this before Trump even won the first time. And that basic UBI was going to be something that was going to possibly come. We're talking about travel, like goods and services, trucking, all that kind of stuff would eliminate the need for truck drivers, delivery people, people working at your basic stores, your convenience store. They don't need clerks. They don't need people working in them. They can actually be stocked through robotics and through very little input of individuals. there's a lot of stores already out there right now that don't have people working in them. They're completely robotic, or they're completely full functioning without people being in them. I've actually posted a couple of videos about them. My company actually has invested lots of billions and billions of dollars over the years on transport that took people out of the mix 110%. And right now they have the ability to have trucks, 18 wheelers, drive autonomously across the country, and not only across the country, but in trains, meaning that they have like 8-9 of them, nose to tail. They're all communicating with each other as if they were like one unit driving down the freeway, and they're actually more reliable than an actual individual driving them, and they don't have to stop. They only have to fuel. And so when you change the technology from fuel being diesel and actually electric, which they've been doing, and they actually will begin to operate on a charging system that operates through the ether, where they continually charge themselves, they never run out of fuel. They never die. They could actually run from coast to coast and never stop. Can't do that right now with people, but that's all coming. But how many jobs would that eliminate? Millions, tens of millions of jobs. So only people are going to be actually having to work as far as input, only a third of what they're actually having to do right now. So if you're working 2-3 times a week at 20 hours to have a full paycheck, and the rest of the work is being implemented through technology, that's where our future is going. That's what's actually being implemented into us right now through baby steps of what's just around the corner for all of us.
Okay. The next question is from Tax Free Canada. And he asks, is the quantum tech foreign to Earth or from Earth? If foreign to Earth, how did they decide on company allowed to make the technology?
So the technology is, unworldly. So it's not of this, of our world, but it is of our existence. It's kind of hard to explain, but it is a reality. The implementation of it has been very well guarded and was placed in people in the custody of care, has been looked at through the probabilities of its control as well as its safety. So when we look at how it operates and how much care and control it has to have over it for the safety and well-being of everyone, that was the utmost priority, 100,000%. And so the individuals that were brought into this mix actually had to be vetted in a process that we can't really understand. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But it's 100% protected. And it is 100% for the good of our humanity. If what happened in 2012 did not happen, we would not even be speaking of quantum or anything quantum related. We probably would already be in a nuclear winter right now. Everything on our timeline changed December of 2012. That is bringing us to where we are today.
Okay. Rob asks, Kyle, what are your thoughts on the truthers that claim they were all asked to be quiet for a few days? I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Yeah. Kyle.
Okay. Because we knew you were off Telegram.
Yeah, no, I heard. I don't really put too much into it. I think it was more, I think it was more organized than it was of substance. And I think it's a way for people to kind of put some kind of emphasis on importance on what people are doing or not doing. Myself personally, I think it's all bullshit. Any of those that, you know, basically all of them, you know, we're not going to be here for the next couple of days and we're signing off, we're going to be quiet for, and we're all doing this. I think it was all orchestrated within those groups. And I trust them about as far as I could throw any of them. Do some of them have a little bit of good information? Yeah. But then again, it goes back to, are they profiting in any shape, form, or fashion? Do they have any kinds of means of profitability through how many people, you know, go to either their YouTube pages or their websites or monetarily gain finances, and how are they all connected? It's always the thing that I always want to ask, and do they have anything to gain from it? And usually when you start asking those questions, you can start to figure out how they all kind of tie together. Do they all kind of post each other's information? Do they all link back to each other? A lot of them do. If you start paying attention, they promote each other. They push each other's stuff. They all have kind of the same kind of narrative, but with a little different flair. So they kind of validate each other, right? So what have they actually said that actually is real? Real, real. And have they actually been yanking people's chain? I don't know. It's for people to decide. But start asking those questions about things. I do. About everybody. And about everything. I don't take anything at face value. I always look at why you're telling me something and what do you potentially have to gain from it. And how is it connected with other individuals that potentially have something to gain by it? Am I pushing something so somebody else can gain something? Maybe, maybe not. So always ask those questions. We're meant to ask questions about everything. Doesn't mean you were supposed to be like, you know, doubting Thomas's. We're not. We're supposed to start asking logical questions that have somewhat reasonable answers to them. Start pulling some common sense with some things and start figuring stuff out on our own and not having to worry so much about people telling us stuff. Because, you know, the information that people are trying to go out there and push, like it's some kind of the, you know, I've got a source. You ain't got a source, because sources, they're not, this has been a operation that has no leaks, none. Think about that. No leaks ever, none. And you think that some person that's on YouTube or Telegram or something's going to have a source that's inside the military or inside the Pentagon that's giving them information to give out to the public? It's not how Q said it was going to work. None of that was disseminated that way. They were going to give us breadcrumbs for us to figure that stuff out on our own and just give us information that could be plausible deniability. Why? Because that does not break the secrecy of national security. If you break national security and go against that, you're committing treason. So take it for what it's worth. A lot of it's bullshit.
All right, Sue, Kyle,
two more questions and then, Sue, two more questions and that's
I know you're tired.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from MS. She says, if we are in the red with the stock market and can't sell our stocks, will the stocks still exist?
No. When the stock goes away, it's going to go away. So the stock market in which it functions right now and fiat dollars is going to go away. So if you're in the red, meaning that you've lost money, how much more do you want to lose? Do you want to lose it all, or you want to save what little bit you can and get out before it goes to nothing? So I don't know, it's a choice that everybody's gonna have to make on their own. I can't tell somebody what to do. You can ride it out. Hopefully it makes a day where it's got it's in the green. I don't know. But that's a choice that everybody's going to have to make on their own and look and decide what's best for you, because the day you sell is the day you lose. So I've always known that until you sell, you haven't lost anything. It's still just numbers. But the day you sell is the day you actually have lost whatever it is, because right then it's cash. You don't have it no more. So, but do you want to take the potential risk of it going to nothing? That's a choice everybody's going to have to make for themselves. I can't tell anybody what to do in that. I'm not going to. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just somebody that's trying to help people see the information that's out there and then go out there and research it for yourself.
Okay, and the last question is from Jennifer. She said, what happened in December 2012 that you just mentioned?
So that was when the calendar actually ran out. That was the Mayan calendar. Everybody thought that that was going to be the end of the world, and it was a big thing. Well, in reality, it was a very big thing, because it was the actual turning point of the deep state and the Looking Glass projects. The Looking Glass projects, the deep state had control over Looking Glass, or portions of Looking Glass. They had it as well. And they were doing everything that they could to try to change the timelines in which we're converging for 2012. And everything that they did, it wouldn't change the outcome. There is actually some really good videos out there. I've got some on my channel she's been doing this forever. Oh, golly. I wish I wasn't tired. She like interviewed people that were in the military that was actually a part of the Looking Glass projects. And in doing so, basically just go and do a search and do a search for Looking Glass. And everywhere Looking Glass comes up, just look at it, see if there's videos there, see if it talks about the Looking Glass projects. It's a video, it's about an hour long, hour and a half long. And Carrie Cassidy, and she's been doing this for a long time, and she has her own Telegram channel, and I can't remember the name of it right now, but a lot of this information is on there about Project Looking Glass, and all those timelines were coming up that the consciousness of people were aligning for the elimination of the deep state and the corruption, and nothing they could do could stop it. And they tried, they tried, they tried. I mean, even 9/11 was a part of it in a way of trying to stop what was coming. And basically, the consciousness of humanity rose to a level of love and a higher frequency of anticipation of our future that changed the course and the direction of this entire world. And so that was very significant what took place on the expiration of the Mayan calendar. And it was the beginning of what was to come. And what is to come is what we are entering into. So that was going on 10 years ago, this year in December. And 2020 was the year of bringing the awakening, new vision to open the eyes of humanity. And pretty much a lot of that all started with all of it. But all of that began back then and has been moving forward since then. Nothing can stop what's coming, and nothing can. Nothing can stop what's coming. And with that, I want to thank everybody that came out tonight. I want you to all be encouraged. Things are going the way that they're supposed to. May not look like it, but they are. And to know that you're in control of the way that you feel and the way that you approach each and every day, the people around you, everything. So make decisions on making your world and your life better each and every day by how you approach everything. It's all a choice. So choose that you're going to live each day a different person, better person, and for the betterment of everyone. And just know that if you come across somebody that is rude or bad or whatever, don't just immediately strike out at them. They, you never know what people are going through. And they could have lost their father that day. You never know what people are going through. So walk in compassion and love, and your whole world's gonna start to change. I just want to tell everybody thank you. We'll do this again. If there's questions that we didn't get to, always is. I wish I could do everyone's, but we just don't have enough time. DM those questions to Kelly, and I'll try to get to them as soon as possible. All right. And everybody, you have a good night.
Thank you, Kyle, so much. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.